आज तो मैं मॉम नॉट टेकिंग डूइंग दैट एमबीए एंड ऑल, आई एम गोइंग टू इंस्टेड स्टार्ट अ टी-शर्ट कंपनी. एंड दे दैट इट वाज टेरिबल, लाइक शी क्राइड फॉर डेज.
इट अफेक्ट्स यू, इट्स अ रिस्क टेकिंग. इफ इट अफेक्ट्स अदर्स, मे बी इट इज रेकलेसनेस. आई डिड समथिंग सिमिलर, आई थ्रू अवे a high paying job to come back with debt, and my dad asked me at the same time.
Then the real VC money came in, you know, yeah. The $10 million
house. Yeah.
Then I got lost in frameworks.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I made all the mistakes I had to make, because money is such a luxury to make mistakes. And you don't think twice about it. And we burnt money on branding,
yeah.
Like discounts, everything which I'm against now and was then. But I thought, why not try?
Welcome to Unstarted. What is unique about this show is this is about you. It is for founders, by founders. Okay, today I have a very interesting guest on Unstarted, Vedang from the Soul Store. He claims he has very high customer satisfaction, so I'm assuming that many of you will therefore be customers as well. This is another one of our podcasts in collaboration with TEAM, the Entrepreneurs, Tech Entrepreneurs Association of Mumbai. So we'll talk a little bit about Mumbai as well. But Vedang, welcome. Thank you for doing this. I've heard a lot about your brand and about you, and I went and checked out all. It seems like Disney, Netflix, Warner Brothers, and for those who are watching and haven't checked it out, looks like a lot of collaborations, and we'll come to that. But let's go all the way back. Born and raised here, you know, your background actually looks very relatable for many people watching this who would say, how do I start? Because generally IIT, IIM, MBA, US, lots of that comes.
Yeah.
And then they don't have what you have, which is 1,000 crore, 150, 200 crore profit business. So well done. Let's go back and start on how this all came about, and then we'll get to the journey. And thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I think for me, it was very clear that I wanted to do something I enjoy. So mechanical engineer, did it here at Sardar Patel in Mumbai. Post that, did 2 years in finance, only because I thought, see, when you come out of college, you really don't know what real work is. I mean,
yeah.
You've heard all the profiles and all, but people don't actually know what it is. At least, or maybe I was misinformed or less informed. So I did 2 years in finance because I thought
no one knows what they yeah. should be doing. But as you are going through the story, sometimes the family background, or you know, I am going to come to where did the entrepreneurship kira start. So it'd be interesting to hear, you know, when that happened along your journey.
No, absolutely. The family background is nothing. I mean, it didn't matter.
Your family may be watching, huh?
My family is very proud of what I've
done. Okay, good.
Today.
Yeah, they were very proud. Before that was St. Mary's.
St. Mary's was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes with its reputation. I love the school. I'd give my life for it. So, did 2 years in finance because I thought I was good with numbers. I was and got promoted there, etc. And I was going to do what everyone does, you know, MBA after that. I gave the CAT, got in a few of the IIMs as well. And then, you know, it starts to wonder, ki, why am I doing this? Like, it started to hit me. And the worst feeling I had, I think, was that every Sunday, you're disappointed that it's Monday coming up. And that's a
very... How have you solved it? I still have that.
No, I've solved it. I'll tell you this. And you never want to live like that. There are too many years, you know. This is when I was 23, to go on living, and then before you know it, you're retired, and then it's done. Because people don't realize that this is life. There's no future life. And I looked at the guy in my office who had an MBA, and I thought, is that what I want to do? It's a resounding no from all sections of my brain. So I didn't take up the MBA, and then I started thinking, what do I really enjoy? And by the way, I had co-founders who I met at the same job. Same, everything same. You know, sat right next to me. And we realized that this is still not fun, so let's do something we do. And let's start with at least being our own bosses. I think that's not necessary to enjoy what you do. But I was naive. So I thought, chalo, that's a start. Then we thought, what are the businesses you could start?
Before we come to the businesses, I think these are amazing learnings. I didn't know you had given up IIMs. The fact that you modeled, you looked at people who had done MBAs and decided, and so you kind of had a very good sense of visualization of your life and what you wanted. I love the, do I want this Sundays to be a permanent thing? So great learnings. At that time, before you go to the point of what businesses to start, what about the risk? What about the fact that what would happen if you don't follow that path?
Yeah, again, youth allows you. It was a dumb decision. Youth allows you to do such dumb decisions. And I think sometimes when these dumb decisions work out, you look, oh, wow, so brave, what a genius. Actually, it was stupid. I'm going to be frank with you.
Because so people should go to IIMs and do MBAs?
So let me just caveat that out. I think everyone has different situations. Some people come from more privilege, some from less. Now, at my home, at that time, it was less privilege. For at least all my childhood, it's been less. And I used to get money home. It used to run the house. So actually quitting the job and not doing an MBA, which for a middle-class family is stability, was reckless. And if I had to go back, obviously it all worked out, so it looks good. But I would not remake that decision. It is with the wisdom today, it is reckless. Because your decision affects you, that's fine. If it affects your family, then I think that's a responsibility which you should think twice about. And I did screw up on that responsibility. It was very hard. So I remember, I told my mom, I'm not doing their MBA and all. I'm going to instead start a t-shirt company. And it was terrible. Like she cried for days. Like she thought, like, what is wrong with my seemingly intelligent son? But if it works out, then it looks
very interesting. I think I like your recklessness framework, which is if it affects you, it's risk taking. If it affects others, maybe it is recklessness. I did something similar. I threw away a high paying job to come back with debt, and my dad asked me at the same time. With hindsight, mine was less reckless, maybe because I did come back here to take care of them. But thank you for sharing that. You know, you're going to talk about what businesses you guys thought about starting, and you were talking about t-shirts. You know, I didn't know when this question came. We've been crowdsourcing questions from the audience, and I didn't know who could answer this question, and then I met you. So the question is validating your idea. It's from Akshay Kothari. How do I validate my idea? Like say I want to start a t-shirt printing business. How do you know if the printing will work or no before I jump? And of course, everything else that goes with it. So let's pick up the thread. You decided to start a business, and how did it get to t-shirts and then the journey from there?
Yeah, I think you're looking for an intelligent answer, but I have none. There are two things. One,
I may have to edit a lot of this episode. No. We will edit nothing.
You said be frank.
Yes.
And speak.
And this is what is relatable, honestly.
And speak from your feelings. We came up with a lot of tech ideas, et cetera, et cetera. None of us really knew how to code. None of us had fancy colleges either. So we knew that we weren't going to get funded, et cetera. The VC world was a little more nascent at that time, in 2013. Versus today, it's very mature. So the only thing we could start with the capital we had, the three of us, and I was the LCM there. I had 1.75 lakh. I was like, this is all that's there. That's it. If this goes, I don't have like even money for movies. So we put in that 5.25. And the only thing you could start, I think, at least from our intelligence at that point, was an online t-shirt business with the limited skill and capital we had. So the idea was pretty average. But it's the execution, and our backs were against the wall. At least mine was. Like there's no safety net. So bought a couple of t-shirts and literally just started. It was first funny quotes for the first 6-9 months. Just that's it. And we made a cheap website for 20,000 rupees. And yeah, we just sold and made that one cupboard into two, into four. Slowly, slowly. And that's all the money we've put into it, by the way.
And when you were starting and kind of going back to this, so theek hai, very, very honest. And one big takeaway for me is you guys went all in and there was no margin of safety or safety net rather. Which, how does that change behavior?
It changes your hunger. I think you're more practical.
Because you'll be left hungry.
It's true. It's very hard, right? Like
you could go for movies. You said if this money went away,
because for those few years you see all your friends go out, etc., and you have to take that full step back.
Yeah,
it is a little disappointing when you're at that age, especially. I think today you'll be kind of glad, maybe.
It'll be very glamorized. Yeah.
But to answer that question, right? How do you validate an idea? I'm going to say it in two parts. I'm going to contradict myself. One is most businesses in India, like at least the example of printing business, already started. So I think the validation is almost always there. It's all about the execution in my head, especially if the idea is such. But at the same time, look, you can have all the projections, variables on your Excel sheet. But the real world is extremely different. And the only way to know is to start. That's my mantra.
Yeah.
At least that's the way we went. The only way to know is to start. And if you have the ability to take a couple of years and some money off, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Because whatever thought you have, it will change literally the day you launch.
Yeah.
Whatever thesis you had on your business will 100% change. If it hasn't changed, means you didn't learn anything new.
Yeah. With that, exactly the next question.
My question to you is, during your initial talking to people phase, how did you filter out polite encouragement from genuine market demand?
And let's bring in the fact that you are very customer obsessed. You talk a lot about retention rates, NPS. So in that whole context.
Yeah. No, I like this question because, you know, when we launched, we sold about 10 or 20% of our inventory in the first week. And I thought, wow, this is easy. But they're all petty purchases. The real test comes, I think, from like the second, third week when you have to sell to a customer who doesn't know who you are. It's hard. I think we used to get an order a day or something, which I don't even know if that's real demand. But look, is there demand for apparel? I think that was just a very obvious yes. Is there a demand for like funny quotes on a t-shirt? I think at least back then everyone was wearing it. And I think that was a yes.
Yeah.
So we were just being part of the pie. So I think that was an easy one for us. One caveat I would give here is if you sell it at a discounted price, then you will not know the answer. So it's very important to sell it at the price you're always going to sell. Otherwise, you really don't know if you have PMF.
So then all of quick commerce doesn't have PMF. But by the way, thank you for saying this. Yeah. I keep telling people discounted PMF is false PMF. Yeah. And then you can keep pouring marketing money on it and it'll just scale false PMF. But I think you're being too modest. How do you have such NPS? How do you have such cohorts? What was the customer backwards? How did you get from that one order to 10 orders to 100 orders and where you are 1,000 crore and 150, 200 crores of profit. Along the way, what has been the customer backwards view of this?
I'm not being modest, actually. And this is very intelligent that we are, when we make these decisions, we become stupid. So I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'll give an example through designer.
Yeah.
Great designers want to make great designs. And it's my job to be stupid and say customer doesn't care.
Hmm.
It's too much. The customer cares about what they want to see.
Hmm.
And that is what we always bring to the table. You know, like...
So you are always customer back.
Always.
No, because Steve Jobs was the opposite. He said, I'll make it and I'm not going to ask.
No, you know something? I don't think that's true only. I feel like that's a...
False. No, he has himself said it. Don't care what customers want because I'll give them what they need.
Exactly.
I'll show them what they need.
So, and that's the nuance.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I listen to customers. In fact, I think that's sometimes terrible because they do, themselves
how do
don't
you
know
it?
What
yeah.
they want.
Yeah.
And now to digress, when we started, we asked people to rate all our designs on 10.
At that time?
Like
people, today it's very normal, but at that time you were doing that.
Yeah, because how else do you know, right?
Yeah.
Hey man, we had like 20 designs to start with and we made like 100, so we needed to know which 20 and we gave everyone to vote.
Mm.
And let me tell you, the sales didn't match that. So it is a Steve Jobs quote. I would say people themselves don't know why they behave the way they behave. They can't articulate it as well. And you do things a lot of, like I don't know why I do what I do half the things. I think we're just like our softwares are very different from what we say. So what I'm saying is that we always made sure that we assume, like we always thought, okay, I am a dumb customer. Dumb as in I don't have the knowledge of and thought of all the and context of what all a designer would have. I'm going back to that design. Now, how do I perceive this? And I think we were able to do that from the start, and we still do. We keep that empty chair of that customer in the boardroom, you know, so they say. And that's how we make all our decisions. So this comes with marketing especially, because a lot of marketeers love making extremely fancy marketing campaigns, videos, but actually just impresses other marketeers.
That's always been the thing about ad awards, right?
But I don't know how effective it is. I think that sometimes the simplest things are the most effective.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been able to do.
Give an example or two of that, like where, and I'm sure there are probably hundreds of examples, but one or two things that would stand out where simplicity won over. Like there was a debate, there was an intellectual debate versus ye dhande ka answer hai.
I'll give you, we wanted to get, let's say that this year we wanted to say 100 crores in revenue or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And like typically like we had someone from HUL and a lot of, and gave a lot of brand salience needs to be this, et cetera, et cetera. And they ran videos and they did all these measurements, et cetera, but nothing moved. Eventually I said, can we go back to, let's show the product and let's see if it sells.
Yeah.
And that did well.
Yeah.
I think these, so we shouldn't get, I'm not saying that's not important, or, but sometimes we get lost a lot in a lot of these theories.
Frameworks.
Versus what's effective.
Yeah.
Just simply what's effective.
Yeah.
I have a lot of, I don't want to get specific because it will
trigger. It
will draw back to someone.
You have already told people don't go to IIMs. You have basically told people HULs of the world don't know what they're doing.
No, so for our context. Look, I think.
But by the way, there is a meeting of the minds. I think 0 to 1, 1 to 10, none of these things can get in the way and they can slow you down.
And that's the mistake people make.
Yeah.
I think the HULs of the world are more, you know, that finance versus economist kind of issue.
Yeah. And now they're buying the companies, no? Yeah. Because that tells you in itself, because
correct.
They are not able to do it themselves. Yeah. So, I mean, definitely. What, you didn't end up raising money?
For the first 5 years.
5 years. What was the, and you said part of it was too early for the market, which is true. I don't think we started looking at consumer brands till maybe 2015, 14, 15, 16, something like that. So was that the only reason, or were there other reasons to bootstrap?
No one wanted to give us money, and I had accepted that very early.
And you guys were profitable, presumably.
Yeah. That 5 lakh became
until the VCs invested. You must have been profitable.
That is no. There is no in wink there. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Man. From 5 lakh rupees, we made a 30 crore business.
Yeah.
Generating 3 crores.
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
And then our first check of 10 CR came in when we were about 30 crores.
Yeah.
We took that money, we made a 100 crore business. So till here it was fine.
Yeah.
Then the real VC money came in, you know,
yeah.
The $10 million round.
Yeah.
Then I got lost in frameworks.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I made all the mistakes I had to make, because money is such a luxury to make mistakes. And you don't think twice about it. And we burnt money on branding,
yeah.
Like discounts, everything which I'm against now and was then. But I thought, why not try? It was an expensive mistake. I think that all that 10 million we burnt in 2 years, which was I was surprised after it happened. I didn't even realize that it was so fast.
Which years was
so
this?
So sudden. In 21.
21 though was a clear, everybody was burning and money was free.
That's exactly the line I was told.
Yeah.
We will raise after, take this money, grow and we'll raise again because money is free.
Yeah.
That was exactly the line.
See,
was,
VCs speak the same language. Yeah.
but you know something, only I am to blame.
Yeah.
Because the person who has max context is you. The founder.
No, and it spoils the culture of the company.
That was the hardest thing to get back.
Yeah.
The hardest thing, it took about 6-8 months, was to change everyone back to being frugal. Don't spend so much on ads. Don't do this. Why do we need such a celeb? Why can't we just stuff like that? Why is this gross margin doesn't work? Why are we even working like this?
Yeah. You know, people, there's this line that you don't, if you lose money on a unit basis, you'll never make it up in volume. And that those 21 era, because it was the ZERP era, right? Zero interest rate. It was just, everybody went nuts.
Yeah, so we went nuts too. It was very painful, I think, getting back to becoming profitable, because we decided so late. And by the time we had to raise our next round, we were in 15-20 CR in debt.
Yeah.
Someone had pulled out last moment also. I thought at this point, how do I repay this? Because, you know, you have to give personal guarantees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was inspired. Like, I thought, like, maybe I should be inspired by Nirav Modi.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, how did you dig out of that hole?
Back to basics, right? The business, I fundamentally believe every consumer business, most consumer businesses, don't need that much capital to grow.
Please, listen.
No, they don't. They don't. After that round, like, where I said we were 20 crores in debt, and then Exponentia finally came in, thank God. And they were really nice about it. We paid the debt off, and whatever cash was left is still, we have more cash today.
Very good. Well done.
I said this money, I knew at that point that we'll pivot and we'll be profitable. But I thought we're going to raise money and that's going to be under my mattress just so I can sleep well.
Yeah.
It's only for that, like for situations like today where uncertainty on global economics, etc. That's what the money is for. It's not, and this is the way I look at it. It's maybe you can say it's not ambitious.
Yeah.
But I don't think
1,000 crore profit is very good and ambitious. And I went to your site and I saw all these collaborations. So let's get the next question in, which is about revenue versus brand.
I just wanted to ask, if I wanted to start a startup, is it important to build a revenue first or the brand?
So, you know, you have had a very interesting journey. Part of the answer is in your journey, which is you have built brand revenue first. But Soulstore is a brand. You have some of the most sought after global partnerships in terms of branding. I see Disney there. I see Warner Brothers there. I see Netflix there. Why did they partner with you? If you had to do it differently, how do you think about this question?
Yeah, I think I feel, and this is my view, but people define brand very poorly. For me, a brand is the expectation a customer has from you. And that only happens if you've done enough to build that expectation.
What is the expectation a Soulstore customer has from Soulstore?
I will get great designs and quality, irrespective of the product. Because we've consistently done that over the last 13 years, what is the expectation you have from Shiv Sagar? Great Pav Bhaji.
But this is very important because this is the opposite of what I thought your story was telling me. Because her question was brand versus revenue. I thought you would say revenue before brand.
100%, but that revenue is what will define the brand.
So when you go back to 2013-14, what was it standing for?
We have fun t-shirts. Okay. And it's changed. We had fun t-shirts. We have all Marvel t-shirts and pop culture t-shirts. Hey, we have lifestyle products. That's what it is today, because now even the jeans and the shoes I'm wearing, they're all Soulstore. So now it stands for great designs, great quality. It is the expectation you build from a customer. I think Amazon's a brand.
Customer support, customer service.
Yeah, great service, and I'll find everything I need.
Apple,
just super design is what I would say. It's a great product. So everyone here, this is what a brand eventually is. people think it is like having, just for an example, like I'll take a good brand, like let's say Louis Vuitton. They mix what the two things are. Louis Vuitton, to have your branding across your chest, that's different. The brand Louis Vuitton is, if I wear this, people will know I can afford it. I think all said and done, that's what it is. And
it's very interesting. I want to go a little bit deeper. Coca-Cola, one of the best-known brands. Disney, best-known brands. I love this framing that a brand is what the customer should expect from you.
The customer expects from you. The reason
they... What it stands for. What it, right? So what does Coca-Cola as a brand stand for?
See, look, I think... firstly, like just going back to that.
Yeah.
The revenue is what will build the brand. Let's be very clear. What people think is to get Amitabh Bachchan, Ranveer Singh and all these guys to dance on TV for you, that because that's what the book says, right? That's branding. That's brand spend. This is performance spend. I think that's not the way we look at it. In our world, though, in my office, I find that quite nonsensical when I get these ideas. Because that's awareness. You are using these people to and throwing this money around to build awareness. Please do not think that's brand. Branding is what you will stick to over time. Let's say like the brand Mercedes stands for luxury, but it's an expensive car at the end of the day. So it stands for status as well in India.
And smooth ride versus a BMW, which is a sporty ride. So very clear.
But the consistency is in the product.
Yeah.
You cannot put ads of sportiness and deliver smooth ride.
So therein lies the answer to Coke. Coke, and I'm sure you know this story, Coke had launched something called New Coke in the 80s and it was the biggest disaster. Their market cap got wiped out because the taste was different.
Yeah.
The product's taste changed.
Yeah, so hence I don't want to define.
Yeah.
And by this, there may be a chance that a brand is different for different consumers.
Yeah.
Mercedes for you may be transport, but for someone may be status.
Yeah.
Since
we have rejected so many institutions and organizations, let's come to frameworks and authors. Have you read of Byron Sharp? Do you believe in him? No.
I think I've read some, but...
So he's the opposite. He says brand, you know, get a lot in the consideration set. Doesn't talk about cohorts, repeats, NPS as much.
I think firstly, he's right.
Yeah.
I feel people interpret it wrong. And a little bit maybe our internal ecosystem. Because the way we speak is there's brand spends and there's performance spends. And people think this is branding, that spend. That's absolutely not. It may be one vehicle of what your brand
is. So you wouldn't do that? You would only be performance? How do you think of that?
So I think of all marketing spend as one. Because my team will very gladly put, say, let's say 1 crore. They don't. But they would, obviously anyone to show look better would put 1 crore in branding and 1 crore in performance and say, see, only in 1 crore marketing
we've achieved. All my company MISs are like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right? Even ours, by the way, ours legacy, because of that 21, it's still like this. I'll tell you why. They made a change saying EBITDA and EBITDA after branding. It's still like that today, but the way we talk is, and something for this year, this financial year, I told the team, don't tell me what brand spends are, don't tell me what performance spends are. Tell me what your overall marketing budget is, including photo shoot.
Yeah,
that is the marketing budget.
But just coming back to this adjusted, it is a good opportunity to talk about what Vijay Shekhar did with Paytm. You know, up and down journey, and I love the guy. And finally, the stock has done very well. Finally, he said, "Pat ka patty hai." कोई adjustment नहीं है, कुछ ESOP नहीं है, कुछ नहीं है.
Absolutely.
Pat is Pat. Right?
Absolutely.
So, you said something that I want to go a little bit deeper on. You said every spend that goes to build the brand. You said your brand stands for design, for example. So just so the audience can understand, if for the sake of argument, you wouldn't do a celeb tie-up, you wouldn't do... If you were to invest more in design for some reason, R&D, this, that, you would consider that then a brand spend.
It's part of building the brand.
Yeah. No, but that's important.
I don't consider it as brand spend, but that is what... Because there's nothing such as brand spend then in that sense, right?
Yeah.
Let's take Netflix,
the
brand Netflix. Netflix is like, hey, we have all your TV shows or movies or whatever the coolest ones are.
Yeah.
So what becomes brand spend? Does commissioning a movie become brand spend? Does like doing an event become brand spend? There's no limit to it. Eventually, it's all of it adds up to become what Netflix is to me.
Yeah.
And that's the brand.
Yeah.
So for us... If you go to our stores, there's graffiti around the store, and the store experience is substantially different from, I think, the usual.
Yeah.
That's all part of a brand. When you, our customer experience team, the people who answer your calls when you have an issue, they're very friendly.
Amazon playbook. For him, by the way, he said, I'm sure you read about it, he used to give customer support reps leeway up to a certain level. No questions asked, give the customers money back.
We have the same. We have some similar guidelines. And is that brand spend? Sure.
There's no
limit to it, right? Like we do something which no one does. So when the products leave the factory, we do our QCs and all of that, etc. You know, doesn't matter. But when it comes back to our warehouse, we will open every piece and recheck it just to make sure that every single piece is fine.
Amazing.
Now what the industry does is something called EQL, which is, okay, we checked 100
sampling
pieces,
yeah,
and one is defect, that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
Now, do I consider this brand spend? All of this builds the brand, right?
No, but very good. You would rather invest in here than in a celeb, than in the traditional...
We've done all of it though.
Free money days.
Yeah.
Okay, superb. Thank you for this question because I think it was one of the best discussions I've had on a brand. Where do you go from here? When do we see you ringing the NSE bell? How's the business doing?
Our business is doing fine. I think we're in the right country to continue to grow. NSE bell, I hope within 2 years.
Very good.
Most likely. You come with a, means that's the plan.
But you're profitable, and what is the growth right now?
About 40%.
Yeah, so it's in a very good place.
Yeah.
Switching gears, Vedang, you are a Bombay boy. You stayed in Bombay. Most people have moved out as they build and scale their businesses. You've been very honest with me offline that part of it was a lazy choice, and the fact that you like the city, which a lot of us do, but part of it also turned out to be a very fortuitous business choice. What was the Bombay you grew up in? Why stay here when many of your peers may have left? And how do you see it forward?
Yeah, see, look, it's definitely slightly more expensive here. There's no doubt about it. But I feel the culture, not just amongst founders, but even amongst the rest of the team, is dhanda.
Yeah.
That's a very strong...
Professional also, very much more professional.
Definitely. Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm very professional, but yes, people are more professional here, more dhanda, very objective-oriented.
Hardworking.
100%. Less flirtatious with switching jobs. And I think that's a great culture, and it's more patient.
Yeah.
People here are willing to not go down that instant gratification model.
Yeah.
And that's how the Soul Store is built also. So I think that that marriage is... very strong with the city. I don't know if I would be able to build this anywhere else because I had to be patient. I had to have people around me who are patient. And imagine if someone said, hey, we've only grown 40%, not 100%.
You know, something you said about this flirtatious and loyalty, what people don't realize that if you go into the Lion's Den or you go into the, not Lion's Den, but then the thick of the action in the other cities, your churn is much higher because employees have options every other day. Like you said, they don't want to be patient then. They keep coming and saying...
Absolutely. I think the reason I ask for people to be patient is because they don't want to wait. By the way, I make a promise to people in my team. If you are a top performer, I'll make sure this is the richest career path you can have. It's a very open and strong promise I make at the Soul Store. And it's my job then to make sure.
And are they on that path?
I think a lot of them have lived that path. A lot of our like people who've stayed here for 4 or 5 years and beyond, and that's a large portion, they have many crores invested ESOPs, which we buy. They've decided to not sell is their decision, which maybe they're waiting for the IPO.
So you've been doing ESOP buybacks, which I think is a very good idea.
Otherwise, what happens is, like, I remember like when we started this about 6 years ago or so, someone said, don't give me the 20 lakh ESOPs, give me a 3 lakh rupee raise.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe this.
Yeah.
I told them, look, I know, SoulSource is one of the best asset classes. Where else will your money compound also like this?
Yeah.
And then I realized that because everyone gives ESOPs and 90% of the times there's no value to it at the end of the journey. People are like cash in hand. But by doing this, we've changed that thought. Now people want ESOPs. In fact, we have a wall in our office. When you enter, it says, meet the owners. My face is one of 50 other faces somewhere down.
Wow.
But these are all the ESOP owners. We are happy to share that with people who showed this disproportionate outcome.
Amazing. So that tells me, gives me a little bit of a glimpse into your culture. What else would you say about your culture? So sounds like broad-based and shared ownership. What else?
I think we're quite honest, to be to tell you. And when I mean we're quite honest, I'm quite frank with people. I say, like, look, there are 100 people here. Out of 100, 5 people are like, mujhe aur kuch nahi chahiye life mein. I respect them. They live what and they do the same thing. And they're happy. Out of the other 95, 10 may be working to be CEO one day. Because everyone is like, one day I'll be CEO, head of this, have my own company, etc.
Yeah.
Those 10 people from today work like that. And they will achieve it because they work like that. But the other 85, they say, one day I will. And I'm very honest with the ones who do. And I think this ratio is the same everywhere. It's not like we have any extra rock stars. But this honesty is always there. So because the moment you do it, people, if they want to change, they can change.
Yeah.
And I tell a lot of people this. I'm brutally honest. Look, if this isn't the place you can give 100%, why are you here? I'm though not going to fire you. Mm. You're doing good enough for that.
Mm.
But if you are capable of more, why are you here? You say one day you want your own company or you want to be CEO.
But you're doing nothing about it.
Take my job. But what's the path? I think what people tell themselves is, when I get this, I will do that.
Yes, yes. Always.
And I do that with maybe my six pack. I'm far from it. But I always say, after 2 months, I'll start making it. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
All short-lived motivation.
Yeah. No, but there is a lot of this talk nowadays about agency. It sounds like you're trying to ignite agency in people, but you can't, can you?
No, I just tell everyone, I treat you like an adult.
Hmm.
We give you responsibilities, we don't tell you what to do, we give you responsibilities. You come and ask me if you have any questions, I'm happy to sit with you the whole day and hold your hand, but you have to come to me. We treat people like adults. We don't fire easily, but then because there are such disproportionate outcomes with some people who double their salary, etc.
Yeah.
The messaging when you don't get that and you get a 5-10% hike is very clear. So
superb. Great discussion, Vedang. I learned a lot. People watching you, your customers, people who are inspired by the journey. Any advice for them?
Don't overthink. Start. I really believe in this. Because most decisions are such a very reversible, changeable. Few are one way. If you want to do something, start.
Superb. The biggest takeaway I had from you was that you visualized your future thinking, what are the Sundays I want? And so therefore, you're always passing the Monday morning test. Well done.
What are the Mondays? I'll just tell you something. Like, I think you can cut it. But
yeah.
When I'm on a holiday, I am not looking back to go to work, nor am I afraid to go to work. I feel it's always the same every day. It's as good as a holiday.
Yeah.
And my wife cannot understand this.
It's called the state of Zen, and that's in our name in Zen 47. But we haven't reached there, but very good, very good. I think the actionable for people as they imagine a different life is to, I think what you did, which is very actionable, and I haven't had that lesson come out here, is you looked at peers who were living the life that you would live if you took certain decisions. And you said, I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's very good. At 23, 24. And I think that's very actionable. Very actionable. So well done. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being in Mumbai. I'm a big proponent of Mumbai. It's the best city in...
I agree.
It's the best city with all the infrastructure that's being built. So wonderful. Great meeting you again.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Cheers. You're watching Z47 Moments, the podcast by India's oldest venture capital firm, Z47. If you like this episode, consider hitting the subscribe button and the bell icon so you never miss an update from Z47 Moments.